I think it's a show, as a program would start, you have four guests and four seats. He said, no, you come. And then you put an extra seat, and you told the person that the owner of the channel, because he doesn't know me. He said, oh, but we have four people. I said, okay. I said, okay, I don't need it. Like, I can stay and watch. Don't worry. He said, okay, just come for 5 minutes. This is the way with Arabic people, when you like the person, just not to make him unhappy and anyway. I said, oh, you speak the first 5 minutes and leave. Okay, 5 minutes. And then I start to speak. I was the first one to speak. And then after 5 minutes, I stopped. I said, okay, this is the 5 minutes over now. We were live on air. He said, no, continue. We have another program. You have to be with us. And after that, this person, he told me, okay, I like you to be on my channel. And every time you come here, you have to tell me and you come to do. We did a lot with this channel. I worked every time I go there for 2 weeks. I worked from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock next day. And recording and then live show. But God used that with really tremendous way. And this one time I was there, I always speak about Islam indirect or answer this Muslim question. But one time I had two Muslim, ex-Muslim, they converted, become Christian, but they were hard on Islam. They speak hard. When you be with them only, to just be in one program with them, you will go to jail in Egypt. And then I found myself among the two people, and they asked me to do the program with them. You know, I was like thinking between, oh, I'm go to Egypt, and now I speak about that. And if I know myself, if I am in the program, I will not hide anything. I will say the truth. I did it. I went to Egypt with God's protection. He protected me. But now we have our own TV program. I still go to Crossroad as a guest speaker, but we have this TV program. This TV program, this person watched, the owner of this channel, watched my program, and then he phoned me to say, can you do weekly program with me? I said, I can, but we don't have studio. He tried to find a studio, came several times to Canada. He lives in the United States. But anyway, finally, that church, one person came to the committee, new to the committee, from another church, and he told me, oh, why you don't do this TV program if you have this opportunity? I said, we don't have money to build a studio. I said, how much you need? Well, I told him, this person said three cameras with another equipment called ATM 4K, and this cost $10,000. Well, the next day, he brought me a check with $10,000. I gave in the name of the church that they built the stadium. And then the church took the stadium, the 10,000, but when we brought the equipment, we found like came to 20,000. But the church covered the rest. And then we have this program, deal with the questions that Muslims ask. And this question, if you see Muslim, always say that, for example, this question, does God bless the killers? You know, when you tell Muslim, oh, your God command you to kill, I said, oh, what about the Old Testament? God command to kill. Psalm 137 says, bless those who took your little one and dice them on the rock. But, oh, God bless the killer. Is really this real? Then we answer this question, what that mean? And actually, this program is wonderful program. Is this person, he's study well and actually answers the program. I was in the school teaching the course in school and Christian school, and they asked me this question. I said, okay, I don't need you to answer you, just go and watch my program. But this program is not only for Muslims, but also for Christians to know how to reach out to Muslims and how to understand Islam. The second one, this pastor from Nigeria, this has a wonderful story. And this means just make yourself willing and available to meet people. One important thing, I will not going to teach, I just go to do this today. But one principle, I learned it. It's different when God planted the attitude in you and in me to serve as our Lord, not to be served or to do show. Actually, I have a friend, and this friend, he always tell you things that never happened. I still consider him a friend. But I know him. And everyone he brought you, he always brought, like, people was really, like, with problems all the time. And he told me, oh, I have a friend, he likes to meet with you. And then, okay, we set up the meeting. I went on time and didn't find this person. Because he gave me his phone, I found him. Oh, he said, oh, I sent the message to your friend to tell him I can't come. Okay, he said, can we meet Thursday? They said, you know what? Thursday, when you come to Tim Hortons, call me. I'm five minutes from Tim Hortons. But at least I have to be sure you are there. And he came. It was really wonderful person, pastor from Nigeria. And before I met him, I was thinking about, you know, I did a program in Arabic about Nigeria, about the persecution in Nigeria. I remember when they attacked the mosque in New Zealand? And all Muslims started to say, do you see this Christian? He's not Christian. Actually, I did a program in Arabic. This person learned from Muslim, learned from ISIS. And he said that he wrote like 70-something pages to explain why he did that. He's not Christian, but this person, he went to Pakistan and Afghanistan to learn how Muslim doing this. I said, actually, you just reap what you planted. This is your harvest. This is what, this was not. And I was thinking about Nigeria to do one program in English, and then God sent me this person. And, you know, maybe it's a good program, good feedback about the programs of persecution in Nigeria. He gave me videos I can't show on TV. They break the leg of the person before they slaughter him to just make it more painful thing. I watched these videos, but I told my brother, I can't watch them on TV. Because we don't like to hurt people. But it's painful there. And those people, they are Muslim group called Boko Haram and Fulani. By the way, they are not spreading out Islam. The Islam commands them in Surah 9:29 to even to take their property. It's not only kill them, they steal. And Muslim can steal anybody if he's not Muslim. Right? It's a wonderful program, but not only the program, he started telling me, okay, when he said something about what happened in Nigeria, I told him, do you know why this happened? Because those Muslims believe in this, and I gave him the verses from the Quran. It's a really good program. But he told me, okay, I like to teach my people in Nigeria how to reach out to Muslims. It's like from one program, now we plan to do program together, like, or videos together, and send it to pastors in Nigeria to teach them how to reach out to Muslims. Right? It's how God opened doors. This is the way. Okay, another one. Yeah. You know, this is a different one. I like have another person here through Skype. Through Skype, I can have any person from anywhere in the world as my guest speaker. This person, he was on TV with me, and he's a professor in Baptist Theological Seminary in Toronto. His name is Tony Costa. If you Google, you'll see him. He's a person, he understands Islam as well, and we always have program together. But this is really good because I can invite people from Egypt, from anywhere in the world through Skype, and always learn. By the way, we found myself, we learned that from scratch, how to do it. We had no idea how to do this, but we always update ourselves and learn how to do all of this together. We talk with a professional to come to do it, but this professional, after we started that, he said he engaged with another program for that. We had to do it with a team from a church and even train another people to do it. For that, it's we can put subtitles, we can put English subtitles or Arabic subtitles, we can do that. And it's now we are a kind of a little bit close to professional people in this. Okay, another one. This was just last Friday, just 2 days ago. I still have sore leg from playing soccer because I was playing soccer. This is my son, Mark. And this program, a program called Fellowship Cafe. Fellowship Cafe is very easy idea that North Americans don't like or don't know about it. You know, what happened is, like, you know, I told people, I always say, reaching out, you need a hook. And we did that in Egypt. Like, we did sports ministry in Egypt. Then the Fellowship Cafe, we have people to come. The immigrant people, they like to learn English. And said, okay, if you like to learn English and develop your English language, you can come to this conversation, because it's a conversation. And also, if you like to know new people, you can come. Well, it just kind of, you go to Tim Hortons or something like that. But we have, like, the table as a circle or even a square, doesn't matter what, but to come together. We take from 7:30 to 8:15 just a casual conversation with a drink, coffee, with dessert, juice, whatever drink there, the people do it and chat together. After 8:15, we use a theme, and the theme about anything like news, what happened in the world, anything like that. And then we always bring the theme to link it with the Bible message and give the message in the end. And the people share and ask questions. Through this program, we have 4 Muslim people came to the Lord, and they became member in the church, they baptized in the church, became member. We have, through sports ministry, the last one, we did one before, we had 4 Chinese girls, Chinese who don't know anything about the Lord. And they came and they started to come to the church because of the fellowship. And then after that, they started to know about Christianity. The church did a program called the Christianity Explored. Actually, Christianity Explored is a program to explain who is Jesus through the book of Mark. And after that, they started to do Bible study to learn more about Jesus, about Christ. And another thing, and you know, what if you come to the church here, somebody give you, if you new person, you are not member here, but you new person, and somebody invite you, and come to Christian Cambridge Center here. But the person told you, oh, the church will start at, or you hear the church will start at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you come 7 o'clock in the morning and you find the church closed, what you are doing as Canadian? What you will do? Go home. There was Indian lady, somebody told her, come to the Fellowship Cafe, 7:30, she heard it, 5:30. And I always open 7 o'clock, little bit before. I went there like 10 to 7, I found a lady, I have a Bible, read the Bible, and sitting there. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, are you here for a while? She said, oh, I'm here from 5:30. And somebody gave her Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. And she was reading in it. And anyway, another person from a church, she came and told her, oh, this is the wrong Bible. And she's asking me, oh, do you have another Bible, the right Bible, the true Bible? Yeah, I have the true Bible, yes. Then I gave her the Bible. She came with us. She is Hindu. She practiced Hindu. But because her aunt became Christian, God changed her life, she's looking to know about Christianity and see how God works through all this program. For that, this is a soccer. You can go to the next one, the next two. This is, actually, before we start to play, we pray. Like, it doesn't matter if the people Christian or not, we pray to tell them, as Christian, we start everything with prayer. And then after we finish the game, we have like a photo together as a group. You can go. Yeah. This is another one here. This is Wafa with us here. She didn't play. Okay, another one. After we finish, we always have some meal after we finish. And this meal, we read the Bible, give a message, and then people go home. People start to fellowship and then go home. That's like we never just do only social thing. I don't believe in social only. You know, everything we do it, we have to do it to glorify Jesus' name and God's name. And this is what we always like to do. But you know, all these things, and like this year, might in the end of this year, God opened another door to reach out to people in Palestine and Israel. But this is another thing. You pray for it and keep us in your prayer. You know, I always say, like, you know, I never even say, Pastor Hank knows that. We never say we are lack of money. We say, okay, we will go, and God will provide, and God will do it. This is what we do. Yeah, I think I talk a long time for that. I will not. I just make this really enough. But again, the last thing I say, it's really hard when we don't believe in serving the Lord and the people. You know, if we think to serve people, we will never serve them. Because everyone has problem. We are not, like, as a people, we still have, you know, our old nature sometimes comes. For that, if we like to say, oh, who deserves to be served? Oh, nobody. But Jesus taught us a very important lesson. He never come to be served. He come to serve. But if we see that we are serving the Lord on those people, then we can do that. And I just quote one last thing, and this example, and I know you know that. John 4, about the Samaritan woman. Jesus started to open the conversation. She closed it. Or like, if somebody, you knock the door and somebody tell you, okay, I don't need to talk with you. What do you do? Just leave. But he made all he can, and he can do everything to bring her attention to listen to him. And this is a way, if you like to really do evangelism, you have to be willing to break down all walls that the person put to prevent you from talking to. And Jesus destroyed all the walls and just challenges to prevent this conversation to be happened. Because I see that, and I understood that. I see many Muslims try to put walls to not to have the conversation. Do you know the nice wall that you bought? And sometimes we believe it, but it's a deception. Said, oh, you know, all the religion are good. Oh, we believe what Christians believe. This was the last conversation last week with a Muslim. I said, not really. And then he said, oh, what's the difference? And then opens the conversation. But I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've been nice. He's nice. He said, oh, Christian like a Muslim. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see many people do like that. I see preachers do that. I see religious people in Egypt do that. And I did a TV program about this. But it's a very key thing to reach out to people. And we teach you this in our course, how to see yourself serving the Lord and try to open doors and destroy all the walls that the person put in between you and them. Okay, I almost finished. Yeah.
Can you maybe share how the Lord opened the door for you to go to Indonesia?
And yeah, oh, sorry, I didn't think. I forgot about Indonesia. Indonesia, you know, I hear a lot of negative things about Indonesia. And I have a friend, he has a missionary there, and he told me, Indonesia is really hard place to go. I was in United Reformed Church, they have synod. And the synod, they invite different ministry to speak, like, you know, and the good thing, they recognize our ministry, like Pastor Opie's, they recognize it. And they asked me to speak 5 minutes. They give only 5 minutes for every ministry to speak. I like 5 minutes because open doors. Then when I spoke, there is a person from Indonesia, he representative his church in the Senate. He was there. I was kind of boring from do all this administration, and then I just went to go out, and I found this Indonesian pastor waiting for me, and he said, okay, I heard you last night speaking about reaching out to Muslims. Can you come to Indonesia to teach us this? I said, okay, let us see, and talk with him for a bit, and then he came to Canada because he married a Canadian lady. We met with him. I told that the church. I told the church, and the church started to plan or said, this is a good opportunity. We have different churches, actually. We have another church called Bassin Community Church. Then I told the church, they said, yeah, oh, yeah, it's a good opportunity. I went there and I spent there 3 weeks between the last week of October till the second week of November. I spoke into theological seminary, one in Malang and one in Jakarta. And I went to another place called Pontiac. Pontiac, it's a big church, a large church there. Do you hear about Wycliffe Bible?
Yeah.
They have Wycliffe Bible there. They translate to the different accent of Indonesian. I trained people there. There was a missionary, he go to Malaysia and reach out to Muslim, but he said, oh, I'm frustrating. I taught him how to use it. I even have video, but he didn't brought the videos with me, how to use the Quran for reaching out to Muslims. The good thing that, you know, people in the seminary, I took them to the street to see how we do it. I went to the coffee shop there. Coffee shop is really busy. It's like Egypt, like crowded. And start to talk with people. It was very easy to speak with people. What I do with Muslims there, oh, do you know the Quran? Oh, yeah. Can you tell me the first surah? It's called the opening one. And they started to say it. And then they said, give us the straight guidance. I said, do you know what the straight guidance is? Because they said, the straight guidance that you gave it to the people before us. The people before us is the Jewish and Christian. And then I started from there to speak about the straight guidance, to speak about the Bible, the Word of God. People started to see that. And the dean of the both in Jakarta and Milan said, oh, we should buy the Quran and we should even start to reach out to Muslims. Because you see, there is a result. In our way, I found a big mosque there. And it is the largest mosque in Asia, in the city called Malang. I told the pastor, "Oh, do you ever visit this? Do you ever visit this mosque?" He said, "No." I said, "Can? Do you have time to plan to go?" They said we have Thursday morning because we had to leave to Jakarta in the evening. He said, I just gave you rest Thursday morning. I said, let us go to the mosque. He said, oh, they will let us in. I said, I think it's your country. You should tell me. I said, okay, but anyway, don't worry. We will go there. I said, okay, you know, they will let us in. And if they like us, they will let us in and give us some coffee or tea. If not, they will kill us. And what my strategy is, I can go to there. It's a university and mosque. That I was planning to go there, go to the administration office. I tell them, okay, if I'd like to join your university, what is the requirement? I always find way to start to speak. For that, oh, this is a university. Anybody can get in and ask about the requirements. They can tell you no or yes, but at least you try. But when we went there, we didn't need all of that. We just went. He speak with people right away. We had lunch there. We spent the whole time there. When the mosque, the people came to take pictures with us, replace the exchange the contacts. And one of them, he thought that I came from Al-Azhar University, Islamic University, to teach them a course about Islam, because when he found me speak about Islam, different books and stuff like that, they thought like, oh, are you going to teach us the course? I said, I can, but I don't come from Al-Azhar. I came from Canada. But it got open really wonderful door there. For that, it's a great opportunity. This year, they have election for that. If you remember them, pray that God choose the right one to keep the door open and God blesses people. Yeah. Welcome.
Envelopes. We just want to take a love offering for Thabit, whatever you have available, whatever you desire to give, or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Can I have some sound here, Ted? Hallelujah. Is it on? Okay, that sounds better. We're sowing into a ministry that God is going to reach a lot of Muslims with. This is how we fight terrorism. Reach out to Muslims, get them saved, and they'll eventually get others saved. And it's so exciting to see what Thabit has been doing. It's always interesting to me to look back over the years to see how God brought us where we are and what we went through and the doors that he opened and the doors that he closed. And God can just make divine appointments, open doors, close doors. I mean, it's just amazing how he works. When I met Thabit, actually he had translated my book on the heart, Man in God's Image, and he didn't know whether I was alive or dead, but it was a good book, he said. So then when he came to a seminar I was doing, he asked if I could go for a coffee with him. I said, well, you have to ask Pastor Safab because he's in charge. I just don't go off and do things on my own. So Safab said, oh, yeah, he's all right. You can go for a coffee with him. But Pastor Thab was, what was the name of that village you were pastoring in? Sahel Salim. I forget the last part. Listen, I didn't interpret for you this morning. Don't give me a hard time here. But there was, 12,000 in that village, and you had a church there. And to see how God put us together, and then Thabit thought, well, he asked me to come and do a revival meeting. And Thabit's idea of a revival meeting and mine were a little different. But I was teaching on the heart, and Thabit was getting so excited as he was interpreting. And then I started praying for people, and God started doing miracles. And Fabot had an uncle who was Pentecostal, so he knew about all this stuff, but he just hadn't functioned in it. And so then he went to this village that had 30,000 people. Most of them were Christians. And because that church had a big backyard, you can't have public meetings in Egypt, but you can have them in a backyard. And so they had a big backyard. They built a stage, put poles in the ground, put blankets over it to shade us from the sun, and they would get as many as 1,000, 1,500 people in this backyard from the village. And from other villages, they would come. They literally came from all over. And Thabit had to start 100 house churches just in that village because so many of the people came. There's a lot of Presbyterians, but they quit coming to church, and they, because they're same as anywhere else, they weren't getting taught enough. But he would send young people to the door, to the village, and invite the people to come out. So God started doing miracles, turned the village literally upside down, and the church grew from 400 to 3,400 in 3 months and became the second largest Protestant church in the Middle East. And all we did was just start teaching on the heart and praying for people. That's all we did, nothing different than what we do here. But it's just amazing what God did in the most religious setting. But the people were poor, and they couldn't afford doctors, so they came for healing. And God just did so wonderful things. And I think altogether, then Thabit left the pastorate there because other churches kept calling him. And he went to other places and helped them start house churches. And we went teaching and we did heart seminar. Thabit understood my teaching so well, we'd both be talking at the same time when he was interpreting for me. If I stopped, he'd just keep going. And it was just amazing how I'm talking and he's talking at the same time, listening to what I'm saying and interpreting, because he knows what I'm going to say. So he knows the heart seminar really well. And but we started all together counting the 100, 300 house churches, was it, eventually? And they're still functioning. You're sending them lessons. Yeah. And Thabit has interpreted our Bible school lessons into Arabic, and that's the lessons they're getting. And then he gives them other lessons, depending what's going on at the time, just to encourage them and so forth. But God's still working through all these people, and it's just amazing how many people one man has reached. And then God brings him to Canada. Now he's on satellite TV all over the world from this small village of 12,000 people. That's how God works. That's how he... We just keep going for Jesus, keep doing what God sets before us, and then he opens up more doors. All you have to do is love him, live for him, share the gospel, and he expands. But it happens not just on that scale. It happens. It'll happen in your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever, your friends, your the people that you know. You just start sharing and things start happening. Then they got a relative that's sick and they need prayer. Well, let's go see him. Let's go talk to him. And, you know, just be open to all those kind of things, because that's the way God works. He'll make divine appointments because there's people wondering about God and he can use you to get to them, but you have to be open to it. And when somebody presents an opportunity to share or to pray, ask them if they want prayer. Tell them God heals today. Tell them about the covenant you have with God, whatever, however the door is open. But it's just amazing how God does these things. And it's going, that is going to expand in these last days. Just before the Lord comes back, he's pouring out his spirit now. It's getting stronger and stronger. So just always be open to sharing. All right. Bill, would you give thanks for the offering?
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Yeah, yeah, they're filling that vacuum. Yeah, it's yeah. There's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world, but God is moving too. We hear stories about the terrorists themselves getting saved. That's really exciting, and what they can do. And man, they just turn, and the tenacity they have, they use that now for God's kingdom, and. They're not afraid to go anywhere because that's just the way they are. Father, we thank you for Thabit and Wafa, Lord. We pray your blessing upon them, upon their ministry, Father. That your anointing would continue to grow on them, that you would continue to open doors for them, provide for them, Father, bring in the finances that they need to do what you've called them to do, Father. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for, Lord, hooking us up together that we could bless one another, Father, and learn from one another. Father, protect them, guide them, provide for them, health for them, their children, Father. Lord, even as they're studying, that they would do well in school. And Lord, that they would find good work when they're finished school, Father. Bless them in every area of their lives, Father. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We'll dismiss you. Time of coffee and fellowship. And... We'll see you next week.